Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Overnight America. One more hour tonight and then vacation's all I ever wanted. So in the next week, I'll be visiting and traveling to hang out with our families. First my family, then my wife's family. And then I'll make my way back here, and then I'll be back a week from Monday. So I have a full week off, Monday through Sunday. Brad Young's going to be filling in some days. I'm not sure who's filling in on Tuesday and Sunday yet. But there is a Thanksgiving Day special that I produced and just put together today. I think you'll enjoy that Thanksgiving night if you're around. Lots of great Thanksgiving memories and stories to share about the best holiday. Oh, I love Thanksgiving. I love it as a holiday. Absolutely go crazy for it. And I cannot wait for Thursday. I'm going to work my appetite up now and eat more than I've ever ate in my life. I'm going to look like Kobayashi out there. Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut combined. This is the way it's going to go. And I'm not going to hold back. You know, basically, I'm going to eat so much that when the desserts come out, I'll say I'm full. But I'll still find a way to fit something down the throat. I was looking online, and the new truck that's out, Elon Musk and Tesla debuted it last week. Little snafu, you know, they throw this big metal ball at the window that should have been, you know, what they call bulletproof or whatever it was, and it left a big old crack into it. I was looking online, and some people were trying to break down why in the world did that happen, because there's videos of them dropping the same metal ball from much higher distances at higher speeds, and it didn't break the window. So all the tests were there, and it showed that it was fine. So why in the world would it break when some guy throws it light-ish? You know, it's not like he was doing a sidewinder here. He's not, you know, he's not Matt Carpenter. You know, he's not Wayno out there trying to knock one through this glass or anything like that. He did a pretty good job, but it's still cracked. Well, I think it had to do with the window not being up all the way. And they showed some examples of why that would happen, because you got to have a, you know, when you're throwing anything at it, at that distance, at that, even that hard, when it's a metal ball, it's going to crack something, right? But if you have it secured from all locations and it's resistant, then you have a much better chance of it not cracking, which I think when they drove the vehicle out, if the window was down even just a little bit, all of a sudden, all the different support it would have at the top of the frame goes away, then you're going to have a hard time. And I think that's what happened there, a lot of people. But either way, Elon Musk in Tesla's $39,900 Cybertruck, so let's just say $40,000 truck, they wanted to stack that up against the F-150, you know, the most popular selling truck out there, which has the base price. So if Tesla's truck base price is $40,000, Ford's base price is $28,500. For their base price. So how do they stack up? Is it going to be, you know, $10,000 better to get the Tesla? If anyone has a Tesla vehicle right now and you want to talk about it, you can. People go crazy for these vehicles. They really like them. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So obviously the first thing is the price tag. So you have the F-150 about 10 grand less than the Tesla truck. The Cybertruck, is that that's the name of the Tesla one, has a higher maximum payload. So the Cybertruck will be able to carry a maximum load of 3,500 pounds. And the Ford F-150 in 2020 could do 3,270 pounds. So a couple hundred pounds more you can fit in the Cybertruck, which is pretty impressive if you think about it. Also, the paneling looks more durable. They had another test where they took the sledgehammer to the different side door panels. You know, one swing of the sledgehammer dents the regular door, and then, you know, the sledgehammer can't dent this steel door that they put together. Cybertruck will have more towing capabilities, could tow over 14,000 pounds, Tesla says. The F-150 could do 13,200. Both can seat up to six people. I don't know which one's more comfortable. Looking at the back bed, too, the Cybertruck has 100 cubic feet of storage. The Ford F-150 has 77.4 cubic feet of storage outside of the cab. And there's also this one little draw thing that they put on the cab, too, which is pretty fascinating. I think you can get that into even solar panels, so you can use that to charge your phone, which is kind of a fascinating thing if you think about it. The Cybertruck has a steel body, which is pretty interesting. If you open up the Cybertruck, they got that weird kind of like pilot's wheel, where it's not a full-blown like a pirate wheel, if you think about a traditional car wheel. This kind of has just the two handles on each side, which is kind of interesting. And the dashboard looks very clean. The dashboard by itself really doesn't have anything on it. There's just that giant computer screen right in the middle. Cybertruck will have a higher ground clearance, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, because the F-150's got a pretty high ground clearance. The Cybertruck looked low to the ground just looking at pictures, but I guess not. Cybertruck, better off-roading capabilities. Wow. So all things considered, it's about 10 grand more, and it could haul, man. You know, those motors, or not the motors, but at least these electric cars or whatever it is, they can haul pretty good. They got some pretty good giddy-up and go. The way things going with that battery. Now, there's some huge downfalls. Now, think about it this way. You can't just go to any gas station and power up. You have to have the Tesla powering stations. And there's not a ton of them around here. So that's one of them. So you're going to have to rely on what's inside of your garage, which is the, what, $1,500 powering station you'll have to build into it? Okay. It's just the way it goes. But then, if you're out somewhere and you run out, what are you going to do? Well, you got to call for emergency, and there's only certain ones that can handle it. And then again, they're going to have to bring a generator with some sort of converter that's on there in order to plug it into your electric vehicle. So there's that, too. And these batteries, I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about this the other day, too. The lifespan on these batteries are not great. If you plan on keeping this car for a long time, I know it's a long period, but, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be replacing the battery. And those are extremely expensive as of right now. And what, even the longer ones, 500 miles is a pretty long get up and go when it comes to electric batteries. But, the, you know, you go, was it 300 miles was the low end base price one? So you can go about 300 miles before you have to charge again, all things considered. Plus, then you have just a little bit of power that generally will just, it's not like a power leak. There's a term for it. But, you know, just when a battery sits idle, it doesn't keep at 100% capacity. It slowly starts to degrade a little bit between that. So, you know, then again, it depends how fast you're going to be using this thing, too. It's definitely not for long trips. You can't just go to any gas station, and you don't want to get stranded in the middle of nowhere. So it's mostly for, like, going to work and back. It's a lot of money, but they're pretty good. Neat. People like them. They're like the Apple of cars, and they're doing some pretty unique and innovative things in that industry. And you can get the upgrades to their software, too, which is a big advantage. And one of the upgrades to their software means when they finally announce they're going to do the self-driving full mode, you'll be able to get that as included. So people are really interested in the self-driving mode when that gets to it. Do you have a Tesla now? Do you want to brag about it? Do you want to say anything about it? Are you interested in one of these $40,000 Tesla trucks? A lot of people are. You know how many people signed up for it? What was the total number? It was like 130,000 people have already said they put the money towards, and they purchased it. I think it was like 130,000. There's a ton of people that have already purchased this truck. So people are investing in it without even seeing it. They're ready to buy it without even touching it. That's what people will do in order to get their hands on one of these new spec cars like that. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. If you got a electric car story for me, it's Overnight America KMOX. I keep seeing people post stuff about Star Wars online, and there is a producer on our sister station, 97.1, who is a big Star Wars fan, and I asked him about Baby Yoda, because everyone's posting photos, and I see the ads, and there's articles, and there's, yo, look at that little Baby Yoda, and he was offended. He said, that's not his name. Don't call him Baby Yoda. Well, he wasn't offended, but I might be adding a little, cranking up the attitude dial a little bit. But there's a certain name for him. I'm not into Star Wars, but people are really going crazy for the new series that is being released weekly on Disney Plus. I guess it's Thursday overnights, about Friday morning, 2 a.m. Central Time. It drops on Disney Plus. So technically speaking, if I was into Star Wars, it would be perfect timing for me to go home and watch the new episode. Mandalorian, I think it's called. Not the DeLorean. I think it's the Mandalorian. Maybe that sounds like a musical instrument. That's the mandolin. Mandalorian. Doug calling in. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I heard you talking about electric cars.
Yes.
And I wanted to let you know my son just got a Kia. I think it's a Niro, and it's a hybrid. It has a gas engine whose main function is to charge the battery.
Oh.
So it only comes on when it's necessary.
Okay.
And it gets 50 miles to the gallon.
50 miles to the gallon is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's high on this thing. It's really neat. He got all the bells and whistles and the whole nine, you know, heated seats and the whole nine yards and leather, the whole bit. It's a really great car.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures right now because I don't know if I've seen these, and I don't think I'd be able to identify it. If someone were to put this into like a parking lot, go find a Kia Niro, I don't know if I could.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you there. I mean, it's you know, it's he formerly had a Nissan Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And he put about 200,000 miles on it, and so he finally decided it was time to get something different. And you know, it was 10 years old, so
yeah,
he got this new one. And he said for hauling gear and stuff, you know, he's in the music business, and he said for hauling his keyboards and stuff, he's still got the same amount of room.
How's it possible to get lower highway MPG for miles per gallon? Because I'm looking at it right now, and it says 51 city, 46 highway. Normally, you get much better on the highway.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that one, but you know, that
doesn't make sense.
Thing, but
yeah,
I know one thing. It really rides great, and the thing is about this, when he starts it up, you don't even hear it start.
I know. With those batteries, you don't. It's not running an engine. You don't have to hear anything. You can really sneak up on someone.
Is this thing running? Oh yeah.
It sounds like a golf cart going. You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Something like that. All right. So how long has he had it for?
Oh, he's had it for about 3 weeks now.
Okay, so he's really into it.
Oh yeah, he loves it. And well, in fact, one of our friends got one first, and then my son decided to go ahead and get one.
Uh-huh.
And
that's how it goes.
He likes it an awful lot. He really likes it a lot.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man. I did the exact same thing. My buddy got a Jeep. I loved it so much when I got my first car, I had to get a Jeep.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
How it works. They know what they're doing. No, I can't remember your background, Doug. Were you born with eyesight problems, or was it something that developed later on?
No, I was since birth.
Okay. Have you ever drove a car?
Never.
No? You ever wanted to?
Well, at one point I did, but to be honest with you, since I've spent my entire life being a passenger, you know, I had the luxury of observing. And I can tell you one thing, with the way people drive, I'm glad I don't drive a car because, you know, I always tell my friends, if I drove a car, I'd have to have a 1954 Chevy made out of solid steel.
Uh-huh. You're going to have some. You're going to have Ram bars on the front.
Yeah, right.
Mad Max it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I get that.
Anything like that. But when I was traveling around the country years ago playing music, it was my job to keep the driver awake. So that's another reason I'm a night owl, because it's like I'm
just used to doing that.
Yeah, always a lot of coffee. And, you know.
Always on the road. No, I get that. I'd be curious. I've known other people who have had issues with blindness, and they've all wanted to or have tried to drive a vehicle sometime in their life. I'm just curious if you ever wanted to.
I never actually tried. A buddy of mine has a Jeep, and his Jeep. Oh my gosh, you gotta see this thing. It's got a lift kit on it and everything. He's got a winch on the front and whole bit, roll bar, the whole business. He always tells me, let's take my Jeep out some time. I'll put you in. You go ahead and drive it. And I go, I don't think I want to do that. He goes, you can't hurt this thing, man.
Yeah, it's fun. No, you can get in some of these areas. You got a spotter that can tell you what to do. That sounds like fun. But who knows? I'm just curious.
Well, you never know. I never have done it. The only cars I've ever driven are the ones that stay on the track at Six Flags, stuff like that, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know what the antique cars.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
My kid loves those. You know what happened to them? Not this time. They actually went to Six Flags today to go check out the lights display and some of the other nativity scenes and things that they do out there. Last time they went to Six Flags, he was driving it. You know, he's five. knocked it off the track. It was traumatizing for him.
That's classic.
I didn't even know you can do that, knock it off the little track there.
I didn't either, but the other thing I've always driven when I went to places like that is, of course, the bumper cars, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. Bumper cars are fun. You have to.
I'm real good at that.
All right, thanks, Doug. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, sir. Have a great trip. Safe travels.
Thank you. So we have, I think we're leaving Tuesday morning, so I have tomorrow where I have to take the new dog to the vet. Once you adopt a rescue dog, you still got to take him to the vet, get the checkups and, you know, everything else that's associated with it. So I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. And then, you know, my son still has preschool, so he'll go to school. And then instead of driving several hours at night and getting to my parents' house really late at night, we'll just leave early Tuesday morning, get up there. And one of the things that is just so beautiful, whenever I go visit my parents, they are so happy to have us up there. They roll out the red carpet food-wise, so I'm going to be eating like a king this week. The precursor and everything leading up to Thanksgiving, it's just going to be wonderful. My stomach's not going to know what to do with itself. It's just going to be so overjoyed by all of this. You know, there was a story, NPR station here in St. Louis, the public radio, posted, St. Louis officials have a plan for sourcing all electricity from wind and solar in 15 years. So I decided to read the plan. They posted a link to it. It's like 40-some pages long or whatever it is. So essentially, Lewis Reed sponsored this board's 2017 Clean Energy Resolution. It says that means more jobs for a lot of young people that are out there working today, right? It means families who struggle to make their utility bills now will be able to come closer to being able to afford these necessities. If we operate more sustainability, it should ultimately lower our cost of doing business. Now, I feel like that is just a little lofty, very lofty, for a couple of different reasons. What time? You know, I might have to do that right after the break. I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and ultimately speaking, this is a pretty good thing that the city is moving towards this, or at least looking at their options. There's some really common sense things you can do, and we're not talking about like common senses. Who's it common sense for? No, there's some things that are really feasible where you look at it and say, okay, this is a good investment. And then there's ones that aren't so good investments, and both of them are laid out in this plan. So what are they? And does it really mean we're going to be able to add all these jobs and all of your housing energy will go down? I don't think so. But let's go through the plan coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. All right, here we are. About 25 minutes left, and then I'm in vacation mode. Looking forward to that. So right before the break, I mentioned this public radio. They did this story. St. Louis officials have a plan for sourcing all electricity from wind and solar in 15 years. We've had interviews and people on the show to talk about this. It's not a new plan. They've been trying for this for a while. But the report, we get a better look at the report now that came out. And I wanted to talk about a few things in the report. So it says the 100% clean energy goal is built on the foundation of multiple past city efforts. Covers over a period of 18 months through transparent and inclusive stakeholder process. Now, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that this is going to be the thing that gets us 100% clean energy. So they say a few things. In total, the city would be expected to spend nearly $1 million in upgrades after Ameren incentives. So that's after the incentives, meaning they're going to have to spend a lot more and then have to file for the rebate. These would include nearly $3 million in 2020 net present value over the measure life of each program. So $3 million for each program that they're planning on putting out there. So there's other things that they're trying right now. This is just the evaluation process where they're looking at the way they operate. St. Louis wanted 20 cities for the City Energy Institute for Market Transformation. The Building Energy Awareness Ordinance was put in January of 2017. It was talking about how that they had to, if you have a building where square footage is equal to or greater than 50,000 square feet, you have to track and report the energy to the city's building division. Not everyone participates in that. It's actually a pretty low percentage, like, 60% so far? Yeah, 60% of those that, have actually participated and sent their energy bills in. So part of this energy thing is, and I don't know if this is how they're trying to cheat the numbers a little bit. So let's say there's a private building we're not talking necessarily a city building, but a private building, 50,000 square feet. And now this government's saying you have to report your energy bill to the government. They'll look at that and they'll say, okay, compared to other buildings this size, your energy is a lot higher or a lot lower. So then the ones that have higher energy bills will say, okay, let's find a way to make you more efficient. And then they'll try to either encourage you or forcefully encourage you to find ways to lower your bill, which would be, I don't know, trying to get you to change your light bulbs to, you know, lower power LEDs or do this or do that or whatever it is. If part of the way that they're trying to become energy efficient, or at least energy dependent, you know, not dependent on fossil fuels, for example, is that they're going to count private companies' goals towards the government goals and say it's just a wash because, oh, you know, so-and-so company wouldn't have changed if it wasn't for us. So we're going to count that success towards our city. I don't know if that's part of it, because ultimately speaking, if they're curious what private people are doing with their own buildings and how if they're energy efficient or not, I don't see how that helps the city per se. They have to secure loans. They got to look at other city buildings. But one of the things that they did mention in this, let's say it's a city building, and let's say the city building's over 50,000 square feet, and they're starting to report all of these things, and then there's someone that could look at each of them and say, okay, that's interesting. Why are some city buildings more efficient than others? Maybe this means we could put a higher, we can pay more attention to the less energy efficient buildings. Maybe we need to look at changing, again, the easiest thing you can do is change the light bulbs out. They last a lot longer. And though it is a big investment at first, you're going to be changing them less and you're going to be sucking a lot less energy out of these things. Or maybe it's looking at some equipment that's not working properly, or maybe there's something that's, you know, the odometer's just running, but it's not actually doing anything, meaning it's just something that's drawing energy when it doesn't need to. So they're basically trying to get smarter in a lot of ways in order to drop some of that. And again, that's a good thing. The government should have been doing this a long time ago. They should have been smarter a long time ago. And they should have been looking at some of these city buildings to begin with and evaluating them, saying, you know, that's kind of interesting why our water bill's so high here or our electric bill's high so here. Maybe that's a little bit too high, instead of them just writing a check and letting it be over and over and over and over again. So if part of this is them being fiscally responsible in order to change some of their habits, I'm all for it, all for that. But for them to say, okay, we're going to be able to do all these things and we're going to be 100% energy reliable on ourselves, and I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to buy that they're going to be able to change all the roofs of all the government buildings. And, you know, part of this too is they talk about leasing these solar panels, and they want to put all these solar panels up on all these government buildings. And that's a huge cost with something like that. Now, when you're talking about leasing, it's a lot more expensive than purchasing. And one of the interesting things about leasing over purchasing is that, sure, it's not as much down at first, like you don't have to put as much down, as in, let's say the cost of leasing is about, you know, 70% less than it would be to just purchase it, but you never own the solar panels. Here's part of the problem too. A big part of what you pay for when you're leasing is the warranty and the servicing on something like that. If you were to just purchase the solar panels, all of the companies that offer these solar panels already have all of the guarantees and have all of the warranties built into it. So basically you're paying a company to warranty something that's already warranted. So you're losing a little bit of money there. And when you're talking about a scale of the size of St. Louis, you're probably going to lose a lot of money to those warranties. Just in general, I've looked at solar panels for homes, and that's one of the things they say. If you can afford to pay for them, just buy them, because you're going to be wasting a lot of money leasing these things. So now you're going to have these companies that are going to be putting in government contracts. I'm sure it's always going to come up more than what's necessary, and that's going to be a higher cost than what they're expecting. Now, these solar panels, efficiency-wise, are they going to be put into places where they will be efficient? Are they overestimating the efficiency? And part of these companies that lease these solar panels, they'll come in with their calculator, and they'll say, beep, boop, 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 beep. Okay, what you're paying right now for your energy, we're going to try to make it so the cost savings will be equal to your payment, so it's a wash. And then eventually you'll own these things over a long period of time, right? You're these payment plans or whatever. What ends up happening is that over time, these panels lose efficiency, or they're not as efficient as promised. So what you think is of saving money is really not saving money. Part of these problems, too, is if you want to put money back into the grid, meaning you want to sell energy back in, there's other problems with that too, because you got to put some very costly equipment into place, and there has to be the ability to do that. I know the government can grant themselves the ability to do it, but are all the power companies, is Ameren on board for something like that? That's another consideration. Now, who's going to manage and maintain these things? All right, who's going to monitor these things? You're going to hire more people for it? Okay, more government jobs, and you can't afford it to begin with. So overall, there's some interesting things that they brought up inside of this: rooftop solar panels and leasing and buying, and how are they going to do this? How are they going to do that? How are they going to spend it? Are they going to loan money? Are they going to pay for it? In general, the thing that impressed me the most with this report, and it shouldn't have been a report that brought this to their attention, is them monitoring their own government buildings and analyzing, okay, why are we spending so much at this building when the average cost is this? It should have been, that should have been a thing they've been, should have been doing already. If not, you don't have to wait to implement that. Start that right away. You know, start comparing with all of the government buildings, how much you're paying in your energy costs, and find out where those problems are. Get that done already. All the other stuff, yeah, change the light bulbs. That should be a given. Solar panels, I'm not sold on those yet. And some of the other things they're doing, not sold on them yet. Let's go to Louisville. Charlene calling in. Hi.
Hey, Ryan.
How are
you? How you doing?
You're coming in. You said you already got your tickets for the holiday radio show.
I do.
I'm excited for that this year. Do you hear the premise of it?
Not really, other than I heard you mention the title the other day.
Yeah, it's like, don't forget about the future. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, but I don't know any details.
It's going to be an awesome show. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
I just want to tell you best wishes and all that with your families for the holiday.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, this
should be fun. Safe travels. You don't have to worry about eating too much because your new puppy or dog will work it off of you when you're taking her for a walk.
Ha! I feel that I am burning calories walking. I wasn't exercising much before, and now I'm about a mile a day. I think that's what I'm going to do. Just take her for a walk once a day. And that mile a day, I think, is really going to add up over the long period of time.
It really will.
Yeah, so I have this next week off, and then I'm off in just like 3 weeks after that. So I have the Christmas week off all the way until basically after New Year. So I'm on the home stretch. This is going to be great. I'm going to get used to not working.
Oh, my gosh. You can just sit at home and rehearse and flex up for the play.
I have to sit at home and reverse the. Yeah, I don't actually see the script, and from what I've experienced in the past, Kevin normally gives the script out a week before, so it's still in the process. I haven't seen the script yet, but then again, you've seen these shows before. You may be surprised to find out our rehearsal is the first time we basically read the script. We only do one read over, and then we just go for it. We're not a group that goes and rehearses over and over and over again.
Well, I knew that they. In fact, he kind of wasted the last minute to give you all the script, and then I hear there's so much ad-libbing.
Yeah, so you can tell this from an audience standpoint. You can tell that we haven't rehearsed.
Which is good. It's a fun show.
you find out. Yeah, it's a fun show. That's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be a fun show,
and we'd
have a lot of fun with it. Well, I'm looking forward to the time off, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again when the holiday radio show comes up in a few weeks.
I'm just hoping we got good weather for that so I can get over there.
Me too. Charlene, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, have a good vacation time.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. How fun is that? Always good to hear from her. In her sweaters. I can tell she's probably wearing a Christmas sweater right now as we speak. One last segment left for Overnight America KMOX. The vacation is here. Oh, boy. Brad Young filling in for a few days and got some other guest hosts in here. Thanksgiving night will be the KMOX Thanksgiving special. I'm excited to hear your input on that. You can always reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Ooh, this will be a fun one. Only got a couple of more minutes here, so let's see how many of the different stories I can knock off of the stack of stories. Here's one from WBTV in Charlotte, North Carolina. Going to the emergency room could be pretty pricey. even if you don't get service.
This cat scratch is costing Shyam Patil nearly 20.
Now, I could have played Ted Nugent, Cat Scratch Fever right there. I decided not to.
$2,500.
I want you to know that's on purpose.
That's just for walking through the emergency room doors.
They don't tell you the cost. They don't tell you anything.
The cat scratched him outside his house, and because it drew blood, his doctor said he should get a rabies shot just in case. But he was told he'd have to go to an ER because the vaccination isn't commonly available at clinics.
Never know if a cat has been vaccinated or not.
While waiting, he Googled the cost for rabies vaccinations and was stunned by the articles that came up. He walked out without the vaccination and planned to go to the health department the next day.
Sometimes we feel that, you know what, I think it's better to die, maybe if you have a rabies, then...
Oh, no. It's better to die than have the rabies. All right, so you catch the drift of what's going on here. In September, a cat scratched him on his wrist. Wasn't sure if it was spayed or up to date with rabies or whatever it was. So the person said, you need to go to the ER. Person goes to the ER and looks up on his line how much... Because he's on his phone at this point while he's waiting and says, how much is it going to be to get... a rabies shot. He finds out it's very expensive and he says, I think I'll pass. Thanks, but no thanks.
Maybe if you have a rabies, then to incur this much debt.
Then a few months later, a letter arrived in the mail.
I got the bill for $2,500. And I'm like, I did not even take the shot. What is this bill for?
The bill shows a charge of $2,300 for a level 3 emergency department visit.
Ooh.
If he did get the rabies vaccination that day, it would have been an extra $13,000.
So crazy. Yeah, just going in and talking to a doctor. Now, obviously, you can't expect that the doctor is just going to allow you to come in and ask questions. And if there's no service rendered, then other than speaking to them, then no harm, no foul. So you can just walk away and nothing happens. I understand that you are taking up their time when you go in, even if you decide not to get the shot or whatever the treatment is. But $2,300 to go in and say, no thanks, I'm going to decline the shot. $2,300 for that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That seems a little much.
According to the CDC, the average price of a rabies treatment is between $1,200 and $6,500. Atrium Health couldn't go into specifics because of HIPAA laws, but said some bills show the charges and do not reflect the actual price that patients would have to pay.
Of course.
Saying in a statement
that... The medical industry is so screwed up because these sort of things happen. It's not like it's going to be the end-all, be-all, because if this was all government-run and he walked in there... He would have just charged the government, $3,000 for the right to go in and ask the question. The government would pay it, if this was the type of issue we're running. This is the sad reality that we're in. Okay, let's see how many other stories I can run through here. That was WBTV. Do you know the Wendy's founder regretted naming the chain after his daughter, Wendy? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I went to Wendy's today, and you keep hearing in the news about the recall on lettuce. And that's the first thing they said out of this guac box. We're out of lettuce. So you know all the fast food places are having it. It says Wendy's almost named itself Dave's Old Fashioned Hamburgers. I kind of like that. I feel it's a little bit retro. I'm going to get me a Dave's Old Fashioned Hamburger t-shirt. So an interview with Wendy Thomas Moore, whose likeness is the basis for the company's title and logo, revealed that her father considered naming it Dave's Old Fashioned Burgers because of all the fame that would go towards it and just leave my daughter alone type of deal. Dave Thomas founded it back in 1969 in Ohio. 30 years after the first location opened its doors, Thomas apologized to his daughter for the burden that was associated with something like that. Some people would look at that as the honor. Some people wouldn't. I'm sure growing up, I'm sure she enjoyed the fruits of her dad's labor, which was all the fame that, all the money that came with owning a giant successful company like Wendy's. I'm sure she really took advantage of it, and it was okay. I think she's doing just fine. Well, that does it for us at Overnight America. If you want to follow me on Twitter, we can always communicate on there, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. Make it your favorite podcast app. Click that subscribe button. Show some support for the show. We've been getting a lot of extra downloads lately, so this is working. This is great. Let your friends know about it. Link towards it. Always a great way to support it, and it doesn't cost you anything. You just open up your smartphone, look for your podcasting app, And right from there, boom, podcasting app, search Overnight America, and I don't know, listen to a few episodes, share it, rate it, review it. That always helps.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.